We're at the National Institute for Animal Agriculture annual conference being held in Denver, where cattle traceability is a big topic of discussion. And we're going to talk with Julie Stitt, who helped develop the Canadian animal ID and traceability system 20 years ago. And she spoke here this morning and talked about how that whole program developed, some of the challenges it faced, and some of the hurdles that had to be crossed. Julie, you're no longer associated with the program, you said, but talk about what prompted this in the first place. How did you get started on your system?
Well, first of all, I'm not associated, but I'm still very passionate about the program and the whole idea of national ID and the need for traceability. And what prompted it initially was the need to re-identify and protect the Canadian herd. We used to have an ID program in Canada through the Health of Animals with a little metal clip tag, but that ended in 1985, so the level of identification in the herd was certainly decreasing. Plus all the things that were happening around the world with foot and mouth and mad cow disease, the need for increased food safety, consumer confidence. Canada exports a lot of what we produce, so certainly again export markets, market access was critical, and also competitive to remain. We needed to remain competitive with what was happening around the world in other countries like Japan, Argentina, Europe for sure, Mexico's developing programs. There's a number of countries that we felt we needed to be competitive with and to ensure that we have market access down the road.
Okay, so after several years of putting it together, what did I see, 2002 is when it officially went into effect?
The regulations, the basic regulations of animals that had to be tagged prior to leaving herd of origin and the numbers retired from at the packing plant level, that came into effect in 2001. But the program took a while to evolve. We worked directly with the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, who was responsible for regulations and enforcement. But again, very industry-led. The whole Canadian Cattle ID program was industry-led, industry initiative. So again, that was where everybody centered around the development of the program. So again, it did happen over time, but phased in. The whole program was phased in over a number of years, and that was critical to success, not imposing something on producers that wasn't possible with technology or where things were at.
Now, we might know yours is a mandatory program, right?
It is. Certain parts of it are mandatory in terms of all animals identified at the herd of origin. And with age verification now, the requirement that most animals are tagged at birth and numbers submitted to the database. And also then the app, it's followed through the system and animal numbers are retired at the packing plant. But the capabilities for all the parts of traceability, animal ID, premise and movement are all in the system. And we have a fair bit of information in terms of animal movement and premise and all those things are submitted to the database and the capability is there.
Okay, so as you watch the U.S. industry, you know, kind of struggle with putting this together, do you see similarities in what you went through?
Oh, I think absolutely similarities and probably a number of times more than we had because you're larger, you have a lot more industry organizations, a lot more state responsibilities, and now that's happening in Canada too, where provinces are getting more responsibilities, but that complicates the program in terms of national infrastructure. But certainly I see exactly what you're going through, and it's not new for the U.S. either. This started almost 20 years ago, too, in the U.S., the development, and hit some roadblocks, stopped again, started again. So there definitely are roadblocks, but I think the key is just to forge ahead with something that works for industry, that's wanted by industry, and to keep very simple, user-friendly, and sustainable by industry is the other key.
And you made the comment you're not going to make everybody happy.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think you'll ever. If we would have made everybody happy, we would have never had a program. At some point, you just got to forge ahead and do it and start with the basics. Again, like I said, phasing things in, timelines over time with things that work for industry, that has to be how it works. In Canada now, the next step will be animal movement tracking in terms of mandatory to meet all the components of traceability. But again, that isn't happening overnight, and technology and the parts of the system to make it work have to be in place for industry. It doesn't matter how much enforcement or regulations you have, it won't work.
As you said, you had producers who didn't want to do this to start with. Now you've got very high compliance, right? How did it work that they signed on?
I think our producers slowly saw that it wasn't a big imposition on it, on industry. They were already tagging. It's just a different tag. They can collect additional information, more value. We certainly encourage all the other components of the program with value chain information, working with breed-specific programs, all those types of things. And that will be private information in terms of no one will have access to that, but the groups that are developing it. We have drug companies on our system that were doing value chain type programs as well for producers. So it the whole system infrastructure was built that it can be added on, so, and trying to demonstrate value to the industry in terms of getting carcass information back or whatever it may be. But initially I think producers just bought into it because they saw the need for protecting the industry in terms of animal health and food safety. That was the key, and there was basic acceptance for that. But when we had mad cow disease and we had a CFI investigation to try and trace it back, the system did work. It wasn't perfect. We've added on all kinds of things since then in terms of enhancements, but it certainly did work, and producers saw how it protected the industry.
And that was in 2003. And you've had some cases since then as well, haven't you? And
haven't really been an issue. I mean, we've supplied information. CFIA's worked on it. We've demonstrated. We've had international recognition in terms of our system. The International Review Committee was very complimentary after our BSE case and how it was handled in terms of just getting data and getting traceback information back.
So you mentioned, you know, there's a difference between the cattle industries in the two countries, but are you surprised that the U.S. hasn't been able to get this going at this point?
I always thought we would get it in harmony. That was kind of our initial attempt. We had U.S. was on our board as ex officio initially, and we certainly were working together. But I think it is much more difficult in the U.S. with all the industry groups, and if you allow politics and things like that to get into it, issues, I think there will be issues. What I saw really worked for us was setting up a very small industry-led, industry-driven agency with all stakeholders represented. It wasn't one agenda over another agenda, with government as ex officio. That worked very well with us, and we were able to bring in all the partners. But again, in the U.S., you have that many more stakeholders, and we brought in additional species as well, and I think that complicates issues too. So there, I certainly feel for what the U.S. has done, but I think you've done a ton already. There's a lot in place already. And it seems to me at this meeting that things are moving forward now to get to some basic system that works for all stakeholders.
You mentioned the Canadian program is industry-led, and of course that's one of the obstacles, objections a lot of cattlemen would have here is getting the federal government involved, but you've kept it pretty much industry-led?
We absolutely have. We have identified roles and responsibilities very clearly. We have a memorandum of understanding with the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, clearly identifying what they have access to, what they are responsible for, animal health emergencies, basically. And we have a very good working relationship with them. So it's worked very well. I think identifying roles and responsibilities very clearly is extremely important, and sticking to them.